You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. It's Saturday evening, July the 12th. I'm your host, James Edwards, and we have a treat for you this second hour with Keith Alexander, still tending to business matters for the next couple of weeks, and we're very much looking forward to Keith Alexander's, the great's, triumphant return to the broadcast. He has never missed. You know, he's been co-hosting with me now for over, God, I guess 5 years. At least 5 years. I mean, this is our 10th year in on the air, and I know Keith's been a part of it for longer than that, but as a weekly co-host, I think he's been doing it for at least 5 years, and he has never missed more than 2 weeks in a row until now. But you know, listen, he's a volunteer. We all are. He has work, and we understand that, and we look forward to him coming back. I still talk to him every week. I actually talked to him tonight right before the show started. He'll be back soon. But I was with Keith out. I had to go down into the bullpen and see who we had, you know, there at the end of the lineup. And I thought, you know, we're going to have to put Smith in the game tonight. This is what it's, we've been reduced to. We've been reduced to Winston Smith. Of course, I'm just joking about that, folks. It's so great to have Winston back tonight. Winston, a true warrior, overcoming, you know, you have to be pretty hardcore to be able to overcome not being able to hear and still host a radio show. And of course, Winston's able to do that with the help of a courtroom transcriptionist who is listening to the show as I speak and typing to Winston in a chat room what is being said so he can respond live on the air and in real time. It's a modern marvel. They should do a show about this on that Modern Marvels program they have on TV. But Winston, no, in all seriousness, my friend, my brother, it's great to have you back. I know we're not able to have you co-host with us as often as we once did, but every time we get to, it's always a treat, and happy to have you tonight, my friend.
Thank you, James. I appreciate it. Thanks for giving me the call to come on tonight. It's a real pleasure, a real honor, of course. I miss doing the show. I miss going speaking engagements on behalf of the political cesspool. But, you know, this is what we're given, and, you know, God be praised.
Well, absolutely. Very well said, and I know here for the next couple of weeks, hopefully, you'll be with us for the second hour in each of these weeks until Keith returns, and perhaps even after that, as much as your schedule will permit. I got an email here, Winston, that I'd like to share with you. It came in during the commercial break. It comes from one of our female listeners, Janice in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'll let you respond to this before we get down to business this second hour. She writes, James, I would like to make the point that there is no such thing as white privilege, as you often point out. And looking back in history, there is more evidence that the reason there was such growth of knowledge, art, and music in Europe and eventually in America lands right on their Christian faith. Our trust in God and our obedience to live as He has laid out in the Bible is why we have had such a wonderful civilization, especially compared to Africa, South America, and to some degree Asia. God told us that it was good for us to work, so we worked. He said that we should take care of our family first. And of course, we consider our race to be our extended family, then our neighbors, and we did. It's such a shame that the churches have given over their responsibilities to the government. I've told both my senators that I am not happy with the immigration policy of Obama, that I do not want my country to look like Africa or South America. Of course, they don't really care what we think. Sorry, this email is not well written. Trying to listen to the show while I write. Well, Janice, that was, in fact, a very well-written email, and I hope that you will be able to make the short trip this October from Nashville to join us in Memphis for the 10-year anniversary celebration of the Political Cesspool. I would love to meet you. I know I've met your husband at least once in Nashville, and great people all the way around. Winston, a response to that, and then I'll let you tell us who our featured guest of the night is.
Well, that listener hit it right on the mark. white privilege is the new go-to sham for people who hate us, and it's one of those things like racism it's probably more defined than the word racism is, but their definitions are based on absolute paranoia. There are people who say that white privilege is knowing you can move into a neighborhood and not be looked down upon. Well, to me, being able to do that just means I'm a decent guy. You know, white privilege is nothing more than an admission that we are better. You know, white privilege the whole idea of white privilege is based on paranoia. It says that non-whites are always getting the shaft, whereas whites can just sail through. As I say, and I'll say it till I die, this notion of white privilege is nothing more than paranoia.
Well, and not only that, I mean, of course, it promotes this anti-white agenda to impress upon the minds of decent, God-fearing European Americans that they should somehow be ashamed that their parents worked and that their ancestors worked to give them a good life, that they could live in safe neighborhoods, that they could go to good schools, that they should be ashamed. You know, this privilege is that, you know, it didn't get handed to them. As Janice pointed out, our people worked for that. My grandparents worked to live in a nice house. My parents worked to send me to a private Christian school so I wouldn't have to go to the black hole of Calcutta public schools in Memphis. You know, it was, you know, I would say that, yes, I was privileged to live such a life, but it wasn't given to my family because we were born white. It was because we worked for it. And that would be a lesson that a lot of these other people could learn.
Absolutely, James. If they would just follow our example, they would enjoy the same benefits and the same good life that we do. And by the way, you know, a lot of whites do not have a good life.
That's right.
They struggle. They suffer. They are in poverty. But there is no shame in poverty, James. The shame is in not trying to get out of it.
Well,
that's what we have now in the minority subcultures. They don't want to get out of it. I mean, it's nice to be able to stay at home all day and collect your EBT payments and spend those. It's hard to get up and go to work. I get up at 4 a.m. and I commute for an hour. And, you know, I work hard, and I'm being rewarded for my efforts, I sought out training. I went back to college at an older age, and I worked for it. So what I have is not privilege. It's work. And minorities these days, James, they have the privilege. They can go to college for practically free if they want to. There are so many grants and other programs by which non-whites can go to college. They get preference in hiring. The military is actively recruiting non-whites. It is not the white people who have the privilege. It is the non-whites that have the privilege. And, you know, if they take advantage of that, fine. But don't expect me to be happy about it. Don't expect me to feel some kind of guilt over the work that I've done and what I've earned.
Winston, very well said, my friend. It's great to have you back tonight. We've got the remainder of the hour with Winston, so you're going to get more commentary just like that when he welcomes our featured guest for the night right after these words from our sponsors.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0° sleeping bag. This comfortable, family-sized sleeping bag can hold two adults and one child, or four young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a treat for you right now. I'm going to let Winston Smith give this guest a proper introduction. And then I'm going to recuse myself for a couple of segments and let Winston have at it with the proprietor of DailyKen.com. He's made an appearance with us once before. I'm a daily reader of his website, does great work. Winston, why don't you take it from there?
Thank you, James. Folks, I've developed a very good friendship with our next guest, Mr. Ken Givadin. He has done the lion's work of documenting black on white crime for us. And as James said, if you want more information than you knew was out there, you can go to his site and you will find out things that well, of course, that the mainstream media refuses to cover. So Ken, are you there?
Winston, how are you?
I am very well, thank you.
Good.
As James said, I'm a big fan of your site. So are all of my Facebook friends, and I hope you're getting lots of traffic.
Well, you know what? It's mutual. It is such an honor to be back with you guys. We appreciate so much the work that you do at the Political Cesspool. And to be honest with you, I don't know when you guys have time to do all that, but we're grateful nonetheless.
As we are. By the way, my transcriber, Stephanie, she says she's a big fan of your site as well.
Well,
let's tell people where they can access it.
The website is very easy to remember, just dailyken.com. I spell Ken with two N's, by the way, but if you misspell it with one N, it will still take you to the website. So dailyken.com, and log on and have a look.
Do you still have the old movies on your site?
You know what? I've still got them on the server, but I don't have a link from the site to the movies. I could put that back up. In fact, I may do that. The way that things are going in the entertainment industry, we're seeing this false positive all the time. They're showing us stuff that's just not real, but they want us to believe it. So, you know. Yeah, that's a good idea. I may put that link back up, Winston, and let folks see what it used to be like back in the good days.
Well, you're still in the good days, brother.
Okay, I'm sorry I didn't catch you. You said what?
I said you're still in the good days.
We're still in the good days.
Okay. Well, I think he's saying, Winston, that this country certainly has perhaps seen better days, but as far as the work of Daily Ken, he's still in his good days. And Winston, I know you wanted to talk with Ken about crime tonight. As you mentioned, he documents this as good as anyone, if not better, and there's certainly a lot to talk about with regards to this subject.
That's James's way of saying, get to it.
Touché.
You know, that's what I thought, but I wasn't going to say anything.
All right, well, let's go ahead and get to it.
Well, Winston is a Southerner, as we all are here on the hosting staff, and we do engage in a little porch talk from time to time, and, which is good. I love it. But
Southern manners, yeah.
All right, Ken. To me, there are two major issues facing European Americans, and those two issues are illegal immigration and black-on-white crime. In the grand scheme of things, they're joined at the hip. Out of the two, black-on-white crime is the worst one because it takes its toll immediately. By that I mean when a black kills a white, that white life is lost immediately. When a black rapes a white woman, she's traumatized immediately, and so on. Saying black-on-white crime is rampant is an understatement, and yet the mainstream media has practically declared a blackout. Go ahead. I'm reporting it. In order to find out about occurrences of black-on-white crime, we have to access local and alternative news sources, and even then, we have to dig into the story to find out that the perp was a black. But we're getting pretty good at that. For example, we know that teen and teens mean a black thug and a pack of feral black thugs, respectively. Same for youthful offender. And we know that when there's no mention of the perp's race or no picture, then 8 or 9 times out of 10, and the perp is black. We can also tell by the nature of the crime. If it's brutal, sadistic, and brazen, then the perp or perps is or are probably black. Is that an accurate assessment?
You know, that is just, you just hit the nail on the proverbial head. And, you know, I would add to what you already said that I was talking to somebody the other day, and I asked him if they knew who Trayvon Martin was. And they said, yeah, we know exactly who he is. He's the black kid that was killed down in Florida back in 2012. And I asked the same guy, well, do you know who Rupert Anderson is? Had no idea. Well, Rupert Anderson is, he was murdered. He was a 97-year-old Navy veteran who lived in, if I recall right, I think he lived in Oklahoma. And there was an Ethiopian. What was he even doing here? There's an Ethiopian, 19-year-old kid, black kid, broke into the home of Rupert and Harriet Anderson, and he beat this guy to death. It was a home invasion. He was robbing them. He beat his wife into critical condition. And the question is, why is it that we hear so much about Trayvon Martin? It's a hypothetical question. We know the answer to it, but the question is, why is the media doing this to us? Why do they hype the rare occasion where a black guy like Trayvon Martin is killed, wasn't even killed by a white guy? But that's the best they can do. But when we have case after case after case of white people being murdered literally every day. I mean, there are so many of these instances, Winston, that it's hard for me to keep up with it because I don't do this full time. I actually have a business that I have to run, and trying to keep up with it's a real challenge, but I think we're doing pretty good. Now, by the way, we mentioned the website, dailyken.com. We have a secondary website, which is called abatethehate.com. And that's dedicated exclusively to, it's actually a blog page, but the domain name points to it. It's dedicated exclusively to black-on-white crime. And so we talk about Trayvon Martin. Everybody knows who he is. How many people know who Jeffrey Westerfield is or was? He was shot to death just a couple days ago. Rochelle Louise Hayes was shot to death. Perry Wren, police officer. In Indiana, just a few miles from me, shot to death by a black guy. There was a guy named Eric Mollett. He was shot to death. We mentioned Rupert Anderson. I'm looking at my screen here, and there's so many others. Jennifer Jessica Kingster, 26 years old, and she was stabbed to death. There's Jim Brennan, a restaurant owner in Ohio. He was shot to death when a black guy stormed in his store. I think it was after hours to rob. We don't hear about any of these people. Now, having said that, let me say this. Here's a statistic that you never hear, I bet you, never hear on the mainstream media, and that is this. 95.5% of all homicides committed in Chicago are committed by blacks and Hispanics. Now, here's what that means. By the way, that statistic comes from their own police department. They're not going to talk about it, but for whatever reason, I guess they're required to keep track of these things. But what that means is this. We could reduce the homicide rate in Chicago if we just, and this is obviously not going to happen, but if we were just to take away 95.5% not 95.5% of people, but if we were just to take away all the black and Hispanics, if there were no blacks and Hispanics in Chicago, the homicide rate would drop by 95.5%. Now, I'm kind of rambling on here. Feel free to interrupt me if you need to, but there is a reason why there is virtually no violent crime on the Falkland Islands, because it's a white culture. There is a reason why there is, I think there was one homicide.
Ken, if you can, hold up right there, my friend. Commercial break, breaking us up here for a moment. We'll be right back and we'll pick up on this topic. Stay tuned, everybody.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today. Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool. I'm your host, James Edwards, Winston Smith, co-hosting tonight. And our guest, the featured guest for the evening, Ken Gividen of DailyKen.com. And Ken has joined us tonight to share with us some inconvenient truths about crime. And I would like to, just in listening to Ken's commentary at the latter part of that first segment, I'd like to say a couple of things in response, and then we'll get back to our guest. You know, certainly man is equal before God and before the law. Other than that, equality doesn't exist in the real world. And, you know, when we're talking about interracial crimes, or not just interracial, but who commits the preponderance of crimes, Daily Ken, that website has done so much to report the truth. You can think of just a handful of others who have done so. Colin Flaherty of WorldNet Daily, the Council of Conservative Citizens does it, really focusing on crime and statistics. But, you know, we need to be armed with the truth of these statistics. And you can even ferret them out from the United States Department of Justice. You know, even though it's, you know, being run by Eric Holder, they still have crime statistics. And the crime on interracial rape, for instance, is so unbelievable. You know, it's tens of thousands to one. In that if you are raped interracially, it's going to be black on white by tens of thousands for every one white on black rape. And these are, you know, honest to God statistics. Now, of course, the media would say that we are racist for even mentioning these facts. I don't get any joy from this. I wish that it wasn't true. I absolutely wish that it wasn't true. But it needs to be mentioned because arming yourselves with this truth could save your life. And I just was thinking in the first hour how Peter Scoop Stanton was talking about, you know, it's a national news story this week that Anthony Cumia of the Opie and Anthony show was attacked by a black woman in New York, and he didn't enjoy the experience, and so he was fired basically for that, for not enjoying that. And, you know, that's national news. And, of course, Ken brought up the example of the Trayvon Martin incident, which was just an incredible story, and we all know all about that. But all of these white-on-black heinous murders that happen every single day, truly racial hate crimes, do not get reported at all. And if they do get reported, it's maybe a short blurb in the local news, but nothing compared to the trumped-up scenario with which they try to present the Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman thing. And it happens every single day. It is our duty to talk about this, and you know, rather than having a chip on my shoulder, if I had been born as a black man, I would like to think that I would still have the integrity to be honest, and I would work as some blacks have, you know, Bill Cosby, for instance, to bring up my own people rather than blaming whites for everything. It is not the fault of white people that the crime is in Chicago, as Ken mentioned it. And with that, gentlemen, thank you for letting me step up to the soapbox. I hadn't intended to do that, but Ken really triggered a lot of things. I'll turn it back to you, Winston, and, of course, our guest.
Thanks, James. Yeah, I appreciate it. Ken, over the 4th of July week, you mentioned Chicago, and over the 4th of July weekend, over 80 people were shot, 14 of them fatally. There were fewer people who died in Damascus, Syria, in that time frame, and Damascus is a war zone. Chicago is not so violent. It's being called Chirac. It's a mashup of the words Chicago and Iraq. And this is
a city
where every liberal dream has come true. It has been in the iron grip of Democrats for decades, and this is what happened. And I thought it got surprisingly little coverage. The Washington Post, it was page 7 news. My theory on that is, and by the way, even Obama didn't comment on that, and I think he purposely avoided it because that would draw him into it. And, you know, he was a community organizer in Chicago, apparently not a very good one. But
so
his former chief of staff is now mayor of Chicago. What do you have to say about what happened in Chicago?
Well, first of all, I got to say that James brought up something that is extremely important to reemphasize. You know, that is that he noticed that he made note of the fact that we have the truth on our side. What the multiculturalists are doing, I call them the predatory left, is they are lying to us, they are deceiving us, they're playing the race card. Well, I call the truth the ace card because it trumps the race card every time. The statistics are, you mentioned the Department of Justice, the statistics are these: 52.2% of all homicides committed in the United States have been committed by blacks, who comprise about 13% of the population, but most of those homicides were committed by males between the ages of 18 to 49, who make up about 4% of the population. So roughly half of all the violent crimes in America are committed by about 4% of the population. Now, when was the last time you ever heard of a woman holding up a liquor store? It doesn't happen. It's genetic. Now, I don't like to admit that as a male, but it's a reality that I have to face. And we also need to face the fact that most of the violent crime in America is disproportionately, and when I say most, 52.2% is most. It's disproportionately black crime, and a lot of it is black on white. But we do have the ace card. Now, admittedly, the bad guys, the predatory left, the cultural Marxists, whatever you want to call them, admittedly, they've got the bullhorn. They've got the volume. They own the cable news networks. They own the radio stations. They own the newspapers. But here's the thing. When you tell the truth, it shouts down all that noise. And we have seen this so often. For example, a couple years ago, we, this tiny minority of us, this little group of us, we brought to the world's attention the fact that the first slave owner in American history was a black tobacco farmer in Virginia. Nobody knew that except for historians. But now virtually everybody knows it, and they've had to backpedal. This little group of us, you mentioned some of those websites before, we brought up the fact that about a third of all the lynching victims back in the lynching era were white. They would never admit that had we not brought it up. Now, I say all that to say this. We have the ace card. We have the truth. What we need to do is we need to keep telling the truth. And once they hear it, they have no choice. You guys have heard that old axiom, if you tell a lie loud enough, long enough, people will believe it. You know, that's the same thing holds with the truth. If you tell the truth loud enough, long enough, people will come to believe it. Again, I'm rambling. Interrupt me if you need to. But there was a movie recently called The Butler, white guilt movie made by Oprah. Yep. If you watch the trailer of that, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, we were just saying, yeah, yes, and we know the movie. Tell us about it.
If you watch the trailer of the movie, you'll see these scenes from the civil rights era where these mean black guys storm into a restaurant where these wonderful black people, most of them young, are sitting at the lunch counter, and they're not going to move. Well, in the movie, these mean white guys, they beat on them. They call them names, nasty names. They hit them, and in one scene, they took a cup of coffee, one of the white guys, and they threw it in the face of this black protester. Now, when people are watching this in the theater, how many of them stop and think, these are actors?
Hey, Ken, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that brings us to one of the most grotesque distortions of history ever in the movie A Time to Kill, the John Grisham movie, where, of course, the whole plot is centered around two redneck white Southerners driving around in their pickup truck with a Confederate flag, and they see this 10-year-old little black girl carrying her groceries home, you know, walking home down a dirt road to carry her groceries home to her hardworking parents, and they pull over to rape her, two white men pulling over to rape an underage black girl. I don't know if that has ever happened in recorded history, ever, in America. I mean, if it has, you know, I'm sure we would have heard about it. But they made a movie about that. And like you said, like with The Butler, I mean, how many people stop to think, you know, is this real? Is this reality? Is this something that naturally occurs did naturally occur to a great extent? And of course the answer is no. And I want to say one more thing before we come up on a commercial break.
Yep.
You said something in passing that I think is very important, and you talked about genetics. I do believe that absolutely plays a role. You know, I think that there is genetic predisposition that is handed down. We know that the vast majority of our intelligence, our capacity to learn, is heritable. And you can, with hard work, you can bring that up a few points, but basically you're at the mercy of your parents and your ancestors, how intelligent you will be. And all this has been proven. And yes, I think that there is, we got to take a break. Ken, can you stay on? I want to finish that thought. Could you stay on with us for the part of the next segment so we can wrap this up the right way?
We're here. We will stay with you.
Okay, stay tuned, everybody. Winston Smith's here, too. We'll be right back with Ken and Winston.
Hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Today is an important day. It's your day to be ready, take care of your family, and buy your emergency food supply from the Freeze Dry Guy. Because today, the Freeze Dry Guy introduces our Mountain House and Packaway 1 month food supply. Today, get the Freeze Dry Guy's 30-day premium unit, normally $364, sale priced at $263, save $101. Buy two cases, normally $727, sale priced at $506, save $222. Or choose three 30-day premium units, normally $1,091, now only $748, save $343. From the Freeze Dry Guy. These premium units are packed with the highest quality Mountain House entrees, meats, vegetables, and Packaway brand freeze dried pineapple and dehydrates, such as milk, ABC stew, and rolled oats, 289 half cup servings. Go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48. Hurry, our Mountain House and Packaway 1 month supply sale ends soon. So call now, 866-404-3663.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T, that's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. We got a couple of more minutes here with our featured guest for the evening, Ken Gividen. Be sure to bookmark his website, dailyken.com. If you enjoy reading about the kind of stuff that we talk about, Ken's got it covered there 24 hours a day, lots and lots and lots of links. But I wanted to say a quick thing about genetic predisposition. I do believe that that is absolutely scientifically proven, that a great extent of who we are comes from the genes that animate us and that we have inherited from many generations of our ancestors. And it is proven that certain groups of people have higher or lower IQs, and it can be separated by race. And so when you have a group of people who have a lower IQ, and with a lower IQ, you have a poorer impulse control, you're going to get more crime. Now, certainly the way you were raised, it plays a role in that too. You can debate to which extent genetic, what portion of the pie genetic predisposition versus nurture, nature versus nurture takes hold, but it's something that cannot be discounted. And you know, you see this stuff all the time, these underreported stories. Like earlier this month, you know, there were several cities, several American cities, that reported that they are going to cancel future 4th of July celebrations because of the black violence. You know, they come and these mobs, like Colin Flaherty reports, and you know, now the whole city's just shutting down all future public gatherings because you know, you just can't do anything with them. Now, that being said, are there, and I obviously feel as though this must be stated every show for the sake of our vanilla, you know, newborn listeners or virgin listeners, perhaps tuning into the political cesspool for the first time. Don't get me wrong. Are there members of the black community that are fine, upstanding folks that work hard, provide for their families, and have never committed a crime? Absolutely. They do exist, and we all know them, and I'm thankful for them. And I wish that was more the rule rather than the exception, but you see it. You read it, you know, political correctness, I believe it was Steve Saylor that said political correctness is a war against noticing. And we notice things. And there are truths, scientific truths, truths backed up by verifiable evidence, such as crime statistics, that need to be gotten out there. The mainstream or the establishment media distorts it. They brush it under the rug. We're going to tell the truth in love. We love everyone, but there are truths that need to be mentioned. Winston, I'm going to turn it over to you for one more question for Ken, and then we're going to get Eddie the Bummer Miller on the line.
Excellent. Ken, one thing I wanted to say in closing the what I wanted to talk about in Chicago. You know, the 14 people who were killed over the 4th of July weekend, if they were not registered voters, well, they almost certainly are now. And in the next election, they will be voting for the Democrat ticket.
That's big, Winston, man.
You're asking me about that? You know what? Seriously, if I recall reading the story, most of those 14 were kids, teenagers. How tragic is that? Man, they lost their lives on the 4th of July, and the problem that we're facing, we saw this in Oklahoma. There was a white woman who was killed on the 4th of July. Her body was left on the porch of a black man that didn't know her, and nobody knew she was dead because the gunshot and the fireworks blended in. Nobody heard it. And they found the guy. They arrested him who murdered this woman. But it happens all the time. But 4th of July seems to be a particular time for assaulting people.
Well, it's so sad. You're right. I mean, we don't want to see this violence. And most of the crimes that black commit, I mean, we're sticking to truth and statistics. Most of the crimes that they commit are committed against each other. Most crime committed by blacks is against other blacks. And, you know, like I said, you know, let the truth be told. But you know, why wouldn't they want to better themselves? And, you know, in saying this and in pointing out this topic that we have to do is not, I'm not trying to shame them or embarrass them, and it's certainly not coming from a racist animus. It's coming from a realist animus. But, you know, I just don't understand why more of their so-called leaders, if they would be more concerned with helping their people than lining their own pockets or blaming Whitey and having this chip on their shoulders, they could do better than what they're doing. I mean, you know, you saw it in the 50s. You know, in what they would call the horrible days of segregation, they did not act like this.
Well, you know, there are people like Roy Ennis who have made a tremendous impact, but they're few and far between. But the thought that comes to my mind is that black people have been living in our culture for generations.
Hundreds of years.
You would think it would rub off on them. And that brings another thought to mind. Going back to the 1600s up until today, the highest standard of living for black people anywhere in the world has been in the United States of America.
Sure.
Even during slavery, they had a higher standard of living than their cousins anywhere else. And why?
A lot of times when blacks do try to improve themselves, they are slapped down by other blacks as acting white.
That's a good point, Winston. That is a good point. That is a very good point. Yes, when they try to act like and again, you know, we're painting with broad strokes here because we're dealing with the rule rather than the exception. But or at least, you know, when blacks make the news, they're making it for this, you know, more often than not. Yes, when they do go to work and, you know, they're jeered for acting like a white person, you know, an Uncle Tom, you know, only they're not being true to their culture. You know, they're supposed to wear baggy pants and curse and degrade women and do drugs and engage in gun violence. That's what's acting black like. I mean, that's the stereotype. And when they try to go to work and be a productive member of society, they get shamed by a large element of their own people. And that's a shame.
I believe it may have been Philip Rushton who said that 70% of violent black crime can be attributed to genetics, but the other 30% is that peer pressure that you're talking about. They influence others. You use the word shame, that's dead on accurate. They have this peer pressure that they can't snitch, for example.
Right.
I talked to a guy on the radio just a couple weeks ago, a black guy, and I asked him point blank, why do you talk like this? And he said, what you're saying. He said, because I don't want to be white. It's just simple. I'm sorry, go ahead, sure.
No, I was just agreeing with you, and that's it. I had a really good point in live radio. You know, it kind of comes and goes sometimes, but I'm gonna toss it over to Eddie in just a second after I thank Ken again for the truth and for telling the truth on his website, but... God, I was going to say something that was just really dynamite. I'm going to think about it here for just a second. It had something to do with what we were talking about along the lines of, you know, shaming shaming blacks for acting white. But nevertheless, it was a good thought, but it was a fleeting moment. Ken, thanks for being our guest tonight. Thanks for your excellent work, and we look forward to having you back on the show again in very short order.
My pleasure.
All right, Winston, we've got Eddie the Bombardier Miller here, and I know we only have you for a couple of more minutes tonight, my friend, and I want to thank you for setting up that interview with Ken on such very short notice, and I couldn't waste the opportunity for Eddie to come in just a few minutes early before his shift starts here at the top of the third hour and let you and him share a word together. Eddie?
My younger brother in arms is so good to hear your voice tonight, Winston. I'm really, really enjoying listening to you. I've been sitting over here drinking some iced tea, which I seldom drink, and just chilling out after my run today and just enjoying the show. I'd like to chime in on what y'all been talking about. Does genetics have anything to do with it? My friend, genetics has everything to do with it. Your environment really has very, very little to do. It's really actually has so little to do with how you turn out. It's actually negligible. I'm living proof of that. I came up in a living hell in South Memphis. Y'all all know that. And I turned out pretty darn good. The first science course I ever took, and most of y'all people that know me know that I majored in science in college. I have a bachelor of science degree in nursing with a minor in biology. There was a fellow named Mendel. He was a Catholic.
Gregor Mendel, yeah.
Yeah, a monk. Have you ever heard of Mendel's peas?
He's a geneticist. Experiments on...
with the peas. With peas. He started experimenting with peas, and then he went on with cattle. He crossed a black cow with a white cow. He came up with a maroon cow. And it happens. It's 99.9999% accurate. You cannot escape your genetics. If you breed a collie to a collie, you get a collie. If you breed I've never seen two blue-eyed blondes get married and have a coal black child. That's just the way it is. If you look in the Olympics, 99% of all the sprinting champions are black. All the world speed records are black. Whites don't even come close in the Olympics in anything less than 400 meters in speed. When it comes to IQ, that's been proven over and over and over again. It's strictly genetic. You can go look. There's just millions of documents out there. You can look. One of the most well-known, most controversial works was the Bell Curve, put forth by, I think, two people, scientists from Harvard University, and they were just, you know, shouted out and drummed out of the business. But it never fails. You cannot escape race. And I'll tell you why. I grew up in the South in the 50s and early 60s, and I'll tell you why the blacks were not violent then, is because in those days you had this thing called the law. And if anybody, black or white or blue, got out of line, unless you lived in South Memphis like I did, you were going to suffer some very strong punishment of the law. People were talking about earlier about lynching. Winston, I'm going to have to let you say goodbye. Jenks said that you got to get ready to cut out here. It's been so good being on with you, Winston, listening to you.
Winston, thanks for coming on tonight for this hour, and we look forward to you being back next week, brother.
I'll be there. By the way, Eddie, Stephanie says hi.
He says hi. All right, everybody, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with we're going to shift gears on immigration, back to immigration right after this with Eddie in the third hour.